This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, you ever heard the old fable about, you know, the king that wanted a big castle, and then the next king had a bigger castle, and then the next king said, well, I got to get a bigger castle now. And they just kept building bigger castles. And the moral of the story is sometimes you just got to be happy with what you have. Well, it's funny because I'm not saying that NFL teams should be happy with what they have. If you're playing in a stadium that's sort of outdated, obviously you want a bigger stadium. I get it. We all need new things, right? So we move into new houses all the time. We get brand new cars. I'm not faulting the NFL people for that. But what I do find amazing, and I always kind of chuckle at this, is it does feel like every artist rendering of stadiums is always got a little bit extra. That one extra thing is if to say, someday soon, Jerry, the AT&T Stadium is going to be very, very obsolete. The Buffalo Bills put out their artist rendering, and it looks amazing for their new stadium that they want to build in Buffalo. Remember, Buffalo was toying with the idea of going to Toronto. Remember, they were trying to figure out how they were going to get a brand new stadium, because Highmark Stadium, where they play now, is, well, my God, they might as well be a high school field for as far as they're concerned. And goodness gracious, it looks great. Glass, including three huge Buffalo statues in the front of the stadium. Now, who knows if that actually comes to fruition? These are artist renderings. But you know that if you are a guy that's putting together the money for this and looking at this going, yep, you know what? That's staying. Those three Buffaloes are staying. I'm seeing it in Tennessee, artist renderings of the dome that the Titans want to build in downtown Nashville. The one that will be hosting a Super Bowl and a Final Four and every single Carrie Underwood concert that comes to town. That it's also one of those state-of-the-art glass enclosed things that just looks absolutely amazing. Looks like a spaceship. It looks like something you would draw if you were looking at a future society, right? And it all like comes from SoFi Stadium and all these other stadiums that were built. Now, if you're Denver, for example, and you just opened your new stadium 20 years ago, you're probably looking at that going, you know, maybe it's time we get an upgrade too. Maybe we'll have a big statue of something in front of our stadium. Or maybe we'll have a big glass enclosure and more luxury suites. These artist renderings are unbelievable. They really look like something from the future. And yet, they'll be built at a local NFL town near you. All right, we got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up. We've got a buy or sell World Series edition also coming up this hour. Good Friday to you. It's Wake Up Call on SportsMap Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser!
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb, the Friday edition. We'll also have a buy or sell coming up this hour, too. We're having a good Friday morning for you, but not as good as the good of the day. What is the good of the day?
Well, you just mentioned it a few minutes ago, like mere seconds ago, and it was my good of the day, too. Was this Buffalo Bills new stadium rendering?
Yeah, it's amazing, rendering. Isn't it?
It's fantastic. Like you had mentioned, the Buffaloes out front. I love that the artist rendering was done in the wintertime.
Right, of course.
You know, let's be real. I mean, that's what we think of in Buffalo, that, you know, they're always buried in snow.
You know what's funny is that, like, I don't know if Buffalo would be a good Super Bowl city if they had a dome. I think Buffalo is a nice town. But let's say they had a dome. Would they actually go to Buffalo in the wintertime as a Super Bowl city? I mean, they went to Pontiac, Michigan, but still, it's Detroit.
Yeah.
It's a good town.
Went to Minnesota.
They went to Minnesota when they built a new stadium. So I don't want to discount it. But the Bills would rather be in an open-air stadium, no dome, play in the cold, then go, there's a possibility we could have a Super Bowl if we enclose this thing.
That was one of my good behind the goods, I guess.
Right.
Is, you know, there were two things that stuck out in my head with this artist rendering. One was no roof. Because I do, that is a definite competitive advantage.
Absolutely.
For them come, what, now?
Right about this time on the calendar.
Right about now.
Without question.
Becomes a competitive advantage. The other one was the scoreboard.
Oh, yeah, the scoreboard.
Where it's trolling the Jets. Because it shows that Buffalo is beating the Jets 24-3.
That's awesome.
Great. At least the artist knows how to hit home. But I mean, just the glass siding The glass window side, I mean, that just looks phenomenal.
They're crazy good. And again, it's when you're talking about rich people who are trying to get public funds for these things, and then this is what makes people crazy is like they want their team to have a new stadium and whatnot, but when it's, I think they're getting $850 million from the state of New York for this. It's like, okay, you need three Buffaloes and you need a glass. Like if you're a taxpayer somewhere way outside of Buffalo, you're probably going, you need three large bronze Buffalo. And the people in Buffalo are like, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, we do. That's just the way it is.
Listen, outside of NRG, they have cattle. I don't know what else to call it. You know, big cows, bulls, right? If you will. Because, you know, I think they're...
It's kind of part of their logo design.
You know, it's the Texans, you know, yeah. I mean, they have these bronze bulls, you know, at the front of the main entrance to the stadium. And
Jerry might have built AT&T Stadium like 10 years too early.
Yeah, I think he did.
You know what I mean? Like where he's like, now I could have this all in glass. Yeah, wait a minute.
You're like, I know.
Seriously.
Well, you look at that thing now. You're like, oh, it's an eyesore. When are you going to change it, Jerry?
Jerry, I can't play in this place. Dump.
Do you think he'll, you know, he's not going to change it because he needs to win a Super Bowl there first?
Yeah, right.
Because that was always the big thing. It's like we're hosting the Super Bowl. The Cowboys are going to win it here.
It reminds me of that episode of Simpsons when they do the flashback to when Lisa was born and Bart does everything he possibly could to get the attention of his parents and people around him, and all they kept doing is the baby spit up. That's what Jerry's like. I still have, and there was like SoFi, Buffalo, Tennessee. Look at these new places. And Jerry's like, but I'm the eighth wonder of the world. Remember, I had Empire State Building could fit. And he's like, no, Jerry, enough.
We Atlanta,
did yeah, Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz Stadium,
Minnesota,
the thing that opens up like a spaceship. Yeah. And Jerry's like, but I. And now, quiet.
Does his roof
hear the roof opening in Atlanta with you talking, Jerry? Yeah,
does Jerry's roof even retract?
Right, exactly.
Come on, Jerry.
Poor Jerry. He thought he built something that was so far out of the reach of other owners, right? Like, you're never going to spend $1 billion on a stadium. Everybody's like, how about 2.5?
You know, one of the things that sticks out in my mind most about Jerry World was the Super Bowl. And remember there was like obstructed viewing?
Yes, yes.
It was like, they had like bizarre. Like
makeshift bleachers.
Yeah, because you know, there wasn't enough seating to accommodate everybody.
Crazy. Jerry's probably with his design team right now.
Yeah, we got to demo this. We got to build a new one.
Can we just like encase this in sapphire? And I don't know about that, Jerry. But yeah, I mean, he's looking around and these artist renderings are unbelievably good.
Oh, like, by the way, ridiculous.
If you're an artist that gets, they're doing these, good for you, man. These are it's great pieces of art.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
I mean, I don't know if it ever ends up looking like that, but
yeah,
SoFi
exactly.
Came pretty close.
SoFi did come pretty close.
SoFi looks incredible.
Man.
Like, I still think I'm looking at an artist rendering when they're doing an outside shot of the stadium.
It is. They are nuts. I mean, these things are insane. And like Heinz Field, Acrisure Stadium, whatever you want to call it, places like that had their little bit of run in the, you know, 90s or whatever, early 2000s. Like, they're all looking around going, no, can we do this? Can we get the taxpayers like, no, we're still paying off the bonds from the last time you did this 20 years ago. So like, chill, enjoy your antique place, your shack. Right? Golly, these NFL stadiums.
I know. That's why, do you think like the, you know, people like, you know, fans of, or not even fans, like there's business owners like of or city council in Chicago or Boston, like, thank God we got the Cubs and the Red Sox, man. Right? They don't change anything.
They don't want anything. Yeah.
Every once in a while, they want a new light fixture.
Yeah, exactly. They still want their always to smell like urine. They have no problems with that whatsoever.
Yeah, you ever walk behind home plate and like the concourse of Fenway Park, man? You got a duck.
You got a duck, exactly.
It's not built for average human beings now.
Yeah, the beams are all over the place. Exactly. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is that you know things have gone so bad when fans start to talk about you negatively, and I am pointing out Red Hot Chili Peppers bassist and noted Lakers fan Flea has taken to the interwebs and asked Rob Pelinka to either blow the whole thing up and rebuild or mortgage the future.
Good point. Because
he cannot stand what he is watching right now.
It's either one or the other, right? Like 0-4, and it ain't going to get better.
No,
like,
and it, like, and it's, you know, and what it, the, I think the big difference is, it's an ugly 0-4.
A very ugly 0-4, exactly. I saw a tweet yesterday, George Karl, former Denver Nuggets coach, former coach of a lot of teams, but he was with the Nuggets for a while, still lives in Denver, and he's commenting on the Nuggets. He said the Nuggets should seriously call the Lakers about LeBron James. Like, seriously, like, and it's not a joke. It's not a joke. It's like, if you are LeBron James, do you go, I wouldn't mind getting out of here if you don't mind getting rid of me. And Rob Pelinka might go, I might have to. If this isn't going to work, I might have to rebuild the whole thing and start fresh.
I mean, it's pathetic.
It's awful.
I mean, we can go down the list of stars that they have. LeBron James actually is playing well.
Yeah, but,
you know, for a 38, 39-year-old who has been in the league for 100 years.
How long is Russell Westbrook going to be on that team? There's rumors about him going to every team in the NBA.
Every team in the NBA, yeah.
I mean, a lot of it is just fans, like, orchestrating the trade machine.
And my favorite thing is that he just bought a house.
Oh, good.
Did you hear about this?
No.
He literally just bought a house across the street from LeBron James.
You can't read the signs. Is that trolling? Is he doing that on purpose?
I don't know.
He's got nothing else to do with his money, and real estate is a good investment?
Whether or not he moves into that house, we'll have to wait and see. But it's just, he literally bought the house across the street from LeBron James.
Can you imagine if Russell Westbrook's moving truck comes in, LeBron goes, no, get that out of here.
I think it'll have water balloon wars.
What will it take to drive? $1 million? Here's $1 million. Get that thing out of here. I know where you can take it. Salt Lake City. How about that? Take it to Salt Lake City. Because as soon as I'm done with you, that's the first phone call I'm making.
And see, I think the hardest thing for LeBron is going to be to cut ties with Anthony Davis.
I know.
Because he recruited him. He brought him over. They're buddies. They're pals. They're friends. They hang out with each other. But the fact that Anthony Davis went up for, I don't know, a simple layup, maybe even a slam dunk. I'm not even sure what it was, but, you know, him slamming a ball is not that hard. And then him walking back, holding his back. I was like, dear God.
Yeah, I know.
You did a simple basketball move, and now you're holding your back.
Oh, God.
So I guess you're going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks, right?
Why not? Yeah.
It's terrible.
Seriously, if you're Pelinka, there is... You've only got two choices. He's absolutely right. Flea's absolutely right.
Yeah.
You get rid of everybody, free up, get every expiring contract you can, and just start fresh. Or you go, screw it. Who's out there? Who do we need to get? Who's going to want to play on this team and turn it around? But the status quo right now, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Trash. Trash basketball. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
Dumb of the day. I'm sticking with LeBron. And I don't mean to pick on LeBron, but... LeBron and Amazon are teaming up for a Manning cast type alternative viewing for Thursday Night Football, where LeBron will serve as the host.
I don't think anybody will watch this. When I say nobody, I mean, like, he'll get viewers because he's LeBron. There's people who like what he does.
Yeah, and it's
like,
with
like
his...
people did go see Space Jam 2. Like, there were people who bought a ticket to see Space Jam 2.
And then it's going to be with his barbershop crew.
That's not bad. That show's pretty popular.
Yeah.
So that's
but
not
why,
bad.
But why football? I don't... I mean, they are just totally trying to recreate the Manny cast.
But... I don't know. LeBron can do whatever he wants, okay?
Like, so, and he's going to.
All right, LeBron can do whatever he wants. But don't you want him sort of all in on the season and not doing Monday Night Football broadcasts? Or is this something when he retires?
No, I think this will be – I think they're wanting to start it sooner than that.
Now? I got it. All right. I don't know. LeBron can roll out of bed and play basketball, so he can do whatever he wants. He's already got Lily's job from AT&T now.
That's true.
That young lady was selling me AT&T for years and years. One ad with LeBron, and LeBron's doing it now? I'm so mad at LeBron. Don't take Lily's gig. Lily sells me AT&T. You sell me a bunch of other things. Don't need to sell me AT&T, too.
No, actually, it'll be...
The barbershop show is actually
I think their first one they're going to try is November 17th.
So I'm going to take my initial thought back. I thought it was like LeBron sitting on a couch with another somebody, and they were just going to interview people like the Mannings do. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
LeBron's going to be like, we welcome our guest, Ryan Reynolds. Like I was like, no, the Mannings do that. If you're just copying it.
Oh, no, they're going to have guests.
But, well, no, I know they have guests because the Barbershop Show has guests. But yeah. I thought it was going to be in the same design of what the Mannings do. If it's the Barbershop Show watching it, that's actually good. That's that people will watch.
Yeah, I don't know how the viewing is going to be. I don't know if you're talking about like the split screen where it almost looks like Brady Bunch.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas the game's going on and then you have the Brady Bunch squares.
They got multiple cameras for the.
It very well could be that you could be watching the game because you have an alternative. You can either watch that the LeBron show or the actual broadcast. The first episode, which I told you is November 17th, will feature guests Maverick Carter, Paul Rivera, and others.
Okay. All right, I got it. So it's gonna be. That's gonna be.
So I mean, worth checking out, fine. But
it's worth checking out.
But I mean, yeah, I was with you. Like LeBron, you're in the middle of a season. You know, it makes sense for Peyton and Eli to do it because they don't have anything else going on.
I think there's gonna be one thing that's missing though, and it depends on your taste. Okay, so if you want to watch LeBron as an athlete and a professional athlete commenting on football, a sport he's not played. There's an attractiveness to that. I think the Manning cast, what I like is I'm watching two guys who know the league.
Yeah.
They even know the players, right? They've played with some of the players that are still playing. There's an experience there. There's a sense of authority there. When Manning talks about don't do this, don't do that, there's an authoritative thing. If LeBron just takes what's happening and tries to make a larger topic with basketball, I don't know if that's maybe.
Right. And I will say this:
concept's pretty good.
I will say this: my opinion of Eli changed because of the Manning cast.
I agree completely.
I did not realize how smart and intelligent he actually was. And I don't know if it's because the Giants, they were never a juggernaut team. Sure, they won two Super Bowls, but it always felt like they won those on hot streaks. And they played the Patriots.
You're 100% correct. The Eli Manning we have now, he's on ads. He's doing all the, I didn't know he had that level.
I didn't either.
Of personality.
And maybe, I don't know, maybe he was in the shadow of Peyton.
I don't know.
But I mean, the Manning cast, his intelligence is off the charts. And this is
really
blowing my mind sometimes that he's saying this, like, oh, you know, they should do this. Oh, look, you know, this linebacker moved here. You know what this is.
Well, I think if I'm not mistaken, I'd have to check on this. So please don't hold me to this. I think Cooper one time said in an interview that Eli was the smartest one of the three. That Eli like got better grades, much smarter at football. That Peyton might have been the more talented one, but Eli was the smarter one. Because I think Cooper was talking about being a coach. And he said if there was one kid, it was one brother in the family that could coach, it's Eli.
I can see that.
Yeah, I can see that.
I can see that now.
I'm not mistaken. I would never have been like,
you kidding me. Nah.
I agree. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue. Don't forget, buy or sell coming up this hour as well. But we give you all the goodies. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
There's always one, right? Michael in Atlanta. Eli Manning had a tough way of showing his IQ, averaging 17 interceptions a season with a .500 winning percentage.
Don't be a hater, Michael.
Come on, Michael.
Don't be a hater.
You just hate him because he beat the Patriots twice in the Super Bowl.
Twice.
Not once, twice.
Were you telling me yesterday off the air that there's a Halloween costume for Eli Manning?
They've been doing these spirit Halloween costume memes where they're like designing these fake Halloween costumes. And one of them is a complete Eli Manning costume. And it's his Patriots daddy, Tom Brady's daddy. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Great. My favorite was Midlife Crisis and Phil Mickelson.
That's funny too.
Jacket. By the way, LIV Golf is going on this week. Does anybody pay attention to what's going on with LIV Golf?
I think no.
Nobody covers it. Nobody talks about it. I can't find, like, nobody is writing on it.
It's like
every now and then you're like, LIV Golf is in Miami. Are they? They are? Okay. I'll take your word for it.
I saw something the other day that Rory was saying that Liv and PGA need to come to an agreement.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think it's going to happen.
No. Seriously, they could play for $1 billion, and I don't think people are paying attention to what's going on with Liv Golf. I think they're playing for like a $50 million purse.
I mean, didn't it feel like it was like...
For like 30 players.
I felt like it was a fun thing, and then it just kind of disappeared.
Yeah.
It's like slowly disappearing. And I mean, now I'm going to start to wonder, it's like, all right, you know, for all you guys who jumped ship and went over there, I'm talking about you, Phil, you know, Bryson, Koepka. You know, are you going to try to find your way back to the PGA?
See, you know what the problem is? Here's the thing. We get it that professional athletes and entertainers and musicians, successful ones, they make a lot of money. We get it. But Americans don't like it when the only objective is money. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Like, Aaron Judge is going to get paid a lot of money, right?
Yes.
That's not the end game for Yankee fans. The end game isn't, well, now I can die in peace. Aaron Judge got $400 million, $500 million. That's not the end result. The money is so that you give me something to root for, possibly a championship because I pull for the team. In individual sports, it's majors and titles and winning golf events, like in golf. I don't care what Rory McIlroy gets paid. I want to see him win the Masters. I don't care that he's sitting on a Fort Knox pile of money. And Liv Golf, the only thing they sell you is the amount of money these guys win. That's it. That's the only thing. Their tournaments are worthless. They have no currency in the sports world. So the only thing that they can sell you is, hey, tune in to Liv Golf and watch Charles Schwartzel win $4.5 million. And Americans go, no, that's not how this works. If I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan, or if I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, I know Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes breaking the bank, but they better win Super Bowls. That's the whole point of all this. That's what you do. You win Super Bowls. I'm glad you're getting your money. I'm glad you're buying real estate. I'm glad you're driving fancy cars. Like when Brooks Koepka goes, hey, when I won this Liv event, I'm going to give my brother a Lamborghini. That's the only thing Liv Golf has is, like, Phil Mickelson and Brooks Koepka were trading barbs back and forth. And they were both, and Phil Mickelson was like, that's a nice green shirt you have. Do you have any green jackets? And then Brooks Koepka was teasing Phil about the two U.S. Opens he has and all the runner-up finishes that Phil has. Guess what they were doing? They were trading barbs with things that don't exist on the tour that they're playing on. They were talking about the relative importance of the things that they won that don't exist where they are now. Like, Phil could go, yeah, you just made $4 million. Dude, I took 9 from Tiger in a pay-per-view television match a couple of years ago. Like if they're going to argue money, who cares, right? But if they argue, I got 2 opens, I got 3 green jackets, like, that's, what is that? That's what we, what, that's one of the reasons we watch these guys in the first place.
Yeah, question for you. Because you said, Brooks Koepka said he's going to buy his brother a Lamborghini. That's Scott Koepka, right?
His caddy, whoever was caddying for him.
Well, wasn't his brother?
How many
Koepkas
are there?
No, but wasn't his brother on the Live Tour?
Yeah, doesn't he have a? Isn't there a Chase Koepka or something? Or
maybe that's it. Is he talking about that brother?
I don't know. I think they have another brother that caddies for him.
I thought what, like, one of the situations was to make room for one of these more high profile players. The Koepka brother got kicked off.
Right. Yeah, that's the other problem with Liv.
That sounds to me like, yeah, I know he was kicked off the tour and now he has no place to go.
Yeah, right. You know, right. That's the other problem.
Or maybe he has to go to Q school to earn his way back to the PGA.
Yeah, that's the problem.
So to make up for it, I'll buy him something with my winnings.
I will buy him. Yeah, I'll buy him a Lamborghini since now he's no longer in the cash machine that is Liv Golf.
That's too funny.
All right, we're going to buy or sell World Series edition. It starts tonight. Aaron Nola against Justin Verlander. The Phillies are in the World Series for the first time since 2009 when they lost to the Yankees. But for the Astros, this is old hat. They're in their fourth World Series since 2017. It's a lot, folks. We'll get the buy or sell coming up next. It's Wake Up Call.
Welcome back to Wake Up Call. Time now for buy or sell.
Buy
or sell.
All right, it's a buy or sell World Series edition after Game 1 tonight. Game 2 tomorrow. Then they go to Philly, where it'll be rocking at, Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia.
I believe you are correct, sir.
Minute Maid Park and Citizens Bank Park.
Yes.
That's where the World Series will be held. Let's get the first buy or sell.
We're going to come right out. We're going to come out swinging, all right?
All right.
The Astros have swept their way through the playoffs, but will not sweep the Phillies.
I'm going to buy that. I think the Phillies get a game here. I think in these kind of settings, we've seen teams get swept in the World Series before. That's happened. But I'm going to buy the Phillies get a game. I think the Astros win this rather quickly, though. So I'm going to give the Phillies a game, but I'm going to buy it.
All right. I'm with you. I don't know if Phillies get one, two, or even three.
It would be, look, I'm not a statistician or one of those chaos theory guys like Jeff Goldblum, like good old Ian Malcolm. But it would be, I would think it'd be really hard to sweep your way through an entire baseball postseason. Like, eventually you're going to lose at some point.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm just going with the bucking of the odds here that they drop a game.
Although so. They do have, they are in the running for a, a good streak. Because they've won seven straight. The record is eight straight.
Oh, okay.
So they could tie a record tonight, could possibly
break it.
Yeah,
I think they'll get that. I could see them getting that. I could see them winning first two games easily and getting that streak. So,
if you believe that they will get a win tonight and tie the streak of eight games, do you believe that Justin Verlander will finally get his first World Series win during this series?
Yes, I do. I think he gets it tonight.
Isn't that amazing? He is 0-6.
It's amazing. Amazing.
I mean, first ballot Hall of Famer.
Without question.
Right.
But again.
And no World Series wins.
You know what? Again, it goes back to like sort of this idea of if you're 0-6 in the World Series, the fact that you've pitched enough to lose six games in the World Series is pretty impressive. Like the fact that he's probably got a couple of no decisions in there as well. You know, hey, look, that's great. Good for you. You're on teams that get to this point in the season where you can accumulate those kind of numbers. It's like remember when I talked about this with tennis, where we said like when people go, he's 42-3 in Wimbledon. It's like that means 3 years he just lost somewhere along the line at Wimbledon. Right, the number isn't the three. The number is the wins. Like how many times do you win at a tournament? And it's the same thing. Like if you're 0-6 in the World Series, you pitch six more World Series. You lost six more World Series games than some pitchers ever have in their career. So, but yeah, no, I think he gets it tonight. I think the Astros win tonight. I think the atmosphere, Verlander. I think it all comes together for a win.
All right, how about this one? How about the Philly Fanatic and Astros Orbit are two of the most recognizable mascots in professional sports?
I had to,
because if I just said one, if I just said the Fanatic, you would have said definitely
going
yes.
I'm going to sell that. I think Orbit should be, but I don't know yet. Philly Fanatic, if you've kind of grown up, you kind of remember seeing him.
Yeah.
Is the San Diego Chicken still around? Probably not, right?
I don't really remember seeing him.
I think he
makes an appearance every once in a while.
Have the Flyers done enough with Gritty to make him the most one of the most recognized? Is that too early?
I don't think it's there quite there yet.
No, because Gritty's got a lot of social media presence.
But I feel like there's the Fanatic and I know the San Diego Chicken, but isn't there another one that's just, and I don't know why I can't think of it right now.
My brain is like scrambling. Well, of course, there's Cocky at the University of South Carolina Saturday afternoon against Missouri, top 25 South Carolina, by the way, SEC Network. Don't miss it. There's Cocky, but he always wins the like college mascot thing. I'm trying to think of another one. Is there another one that I'm missing? Is there one in the NFL? Is Miles the Bronco? No. What about that? Cult thing that Indianapolis keeps. What about the Chiefs Wolf? Is that a thing? What about Brownie the Elf? What about Brownie the Elf? Yeah. Patriot Pat? I don't know. I'm going to sell it because I'm not as high on Orbit, but we've seen Orbit a lot because the Astros seem to get in the World Series all the time. So, yeah, but all right. I'll sell it, but I'm not thinking I'm getting.
Well,
good
that's
money
why
on the
I added
here.
It that way, because if I just said the Philly Fanatic is the most popular mascot, you'd be like, yes, of course, naturally, probably in the whole world.
Was it the San Diego Chicken or the Philly Fanatic that Tommy Lasorda got?
That was the Philly Fanatic.
I thought so.
Yeah,
I thought so. When I was a kid, San Diego Chicken was on Baseball Bunch with Johnny Bench. I remember that. Oh, goodness. I can't think of any other big-time mascot. Yeah. If I'm missing one, hit me up on Twitter.
I mean, the only other two that come to my mind, but it's not. You see them. You know who they are. Is Benny the Bull for the Bulls.
Right.
And the son's Gorilla.
Okay. Okay. So,
but
yeah.
It's because it's more for their athleticism than anything.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And the fact that Rocky, the Denver Nuggets mascot, makes $600,000 a year.
That's just ridiculous.
Outstanding. Outstanding. But I'll sell it, but I don't plan on getting a good dollar for my investment.
How about this one? How about there will be a record number of home runs hit in this World Series?
Ooh, that's a good one.
So in 2017, that's the record. That's the benchmark. It was 25, 15 by the Astros, 10 by the Dodgers. Will we eclipse 25? And that was in 7 games.
Okay. I'm selling it because of what you just said. In order to have 25 home runs, you got to have a long series. I don't think this is a long series.
You think it's over?
Sorry.
You're thinking four or five games?
Eitan Shander can come on this show and yell at me all he wants about the Phillies. I don't even know if he's a Phillies fan, but he must be. He can yell at me all he wants about how I don't believe in the Phillies. I'm not buying a 7-game series here for 25 home runs. Kyle Schwarber, Bryce Harper, who's the Yordan Alvarez? Who else? Jeremy Payne. Who else is hitting home runs for the Astros that I'm missing?
Yeah, a couple Bregman, of other guys. Tucker.
Bregman, yeah. Not Jose Altuve.
No. But Jose Altuve usually does.
He does at this moment. Yeah, in this
he usually
this
steps
stage.
Up. I mean, he went like 0-28 or something ridiculous through the entire playoffs. And then in game 4 against the Yankees, like, okay, no, I'll turn it on now.
Exactly. I'm going to sell it because of what you said, 7 games. This series could have like a bunch in the first 5 games and where you but no, I
not
I,
25 I,
not
worth.
25.
I mean, if you were to do it in 5 games, right?
It's
I mean,
you're
hitting 5 home runs. There's 5 home runs in a game.
Here's a way to spin this. If you were to tell me I'm from the future and I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to tell you wins, but this goes 7, I would probably buy it.
Okay.
If you could guarantee me that this series was going 7, I might buy it. There's a lot of home run hitters in this lineup.
Yeah. Off subject, it's not really a buyer's sell. The Kyle Schwarber have the quietest National League leading home
without
run
question
ever
without
in
question.
The history of baseball.
Yeah, it's
it just it blows my mind that he had 46 home runs. That's not chump change, man. That's a season and a half there.
I know. That is your with everybody focused on Aaron Judge. Yeah, Kyle Schwarber was knocking him
or
out.
Or even
the park
Albert Pujols chased the 700. We care
more
about
that.
That's right.
With those two guys taking over the home run conversation, poor Kyle Schwarber was doing good things and nobody.
I mean, he could have hit 50 and none of us would know.
Exactly. So, all right. What's the next one?
All right, about this one. We will see a pitcher throw a complete game. In this World Series.
We could.
Last one was done by Royals' Johnny Cueto in 2015.
I'm going to sell it. Hold on. How much is Dusty into the whole pitch count analytic thing?
I don't think he's old school.
I think he's old school. So if Verlander's got some gas in the eighth inning, I think he's like allowing 2 hits, no runs. Yeah, Verlander's going all the way, but he also has got to know that Verlander's going to be pitching again at some point in the series. So maybe you just go, I'm out. But I don't even remember the Phillies' new manager, but I could see Dusty Baker doing that. Not necessarily Philadelphia, but I'm going to sell it because it feels like a thing in baseball where we just got to keep bringing in arms. 2015, that's a long time to have not. For a pitcher not to go a complete game.
I mean, we get the bullpen game every once in a while, too, in the World Series. Like,
remember the Rays did that a few times. But I could see Verlander doing it, man. I could see Verlander. Verlander and maybe Zach Wheeler. But Zach Wheeler would have to be, like, on his game. These offenses are pretty good, though.
That's the problem.
That's the thing.
I mean, we just talked about how it's like, you know, if this thing goes seven games, there's definitely going to be a home run record is going to be broken.
And there's nothing. There's no panic like World Series panic, right?
There's nothing
like a manager going, I should be used to this, but
you put two guys on base, it's all of a sudden like, hey, get the
over.
Arms up in the bullpen
get out
now.
Of here. Absolutely. See, you can go through the history of the World Series and find managers who. Who caved in the big moment.
Yeah.
Not just you, Kevin Cash, but there have been other managers who have collapsed with their awful decisions.
That was my favorite.
My favorite, yeah.
All right, I love this one. You ready?
All right, yes.
Jalen Hurts' answer to which team he'll be rooting for in this World Series was clearly written out and not off the cuff. Do you know why I'm bringing this up?
Bring up Jalen Hurts's...
Jalen Hurts is from Houston.
Right.
And obviously pitches for or plays for the Eagles.
Okay.
This was his answer when asked about which team he'll be rooting for this World Series. I'm Houston born and raised. I love my city. It's my hometown. But my home now is Philly, and I love this city too. That's how I deal with it.
Well, that's no answer.
But it sounds like it had to have been written by someone. Like if someone asks you, you're going to get asked, say this. Not to make any fan base mad whatsoever. Or he wrote it out himself beforehand and rehearsed it.
Can you really... Okay, real quick. I'm going to tell a quick story. When I was covering the AFC Championship game, Pittsburgh versus Denver, my bosses at the radio station said, if the Broncos win, you're going to Detroit for the Super Bowl. And you're going to be doing these things, and we're going to get you on all six stations within the cluster. Actually, within the company, you could report on the Super Bowl for a whole bunch of other markets. For the Super Bowl. And I was so excited. I was like, that'd be great. I get to the game, and in order for me to get this opportunity, I have to root for the Steelers. I have to root against the Steelers, who haven't been to the Super Bowl pretty much my entire life. Like, I was a little kid when they made it to Super Bowl 14. And so now I'm rooting for them to go to the Super Bowl after decades and decades of rooting for this failure. They went to Super Bowl 30, so I shouldn't say that haven't been to the Super Bowl.
But
they had a good chance to win. So I remember the Steelers converted a third down, and my body just was relieved that they converted this third. And I realized where my heart was. So if you're just Jalen Hurts, he's going to know the first moment of this game where his loyalty really is. Like if Aaron Nola strikes out the side in the first inning, he's going to feel something. And if it's negative, he's pulling for Houston. If it's positive, he's rooting for the Phillies. Now, maybe he's not conflicted and he's just shading both sides. But I don't buy that for a second. I think if you grow up in Houston and you grew up an Astros fan, how can you pull against them in the World Series?
Yeah.
I don't care where you live. I mean, I live in Nashville. I don't root for the Titans. To go to the world to Super Bowl.
No, I mean I live here in Houston. There was no way I was saying in 2017, come on, Houston,
right.
Win one over the Dodgers.
He's undefeated, so
But I get where he's coming from. You don't want your star quarterback to come out and like, yeah, I'm Astros all the way.
No.
Even though I think it would be okay, people would say, well, of course, he was born and raised in Houston.
Spin it the way you want. But he's gonna know the second the game starts. Do we have one more?
I have two more, but I'll just do this one.
Okay.
We all receive a free taco from Taco Bell.
Oh yeah, don't we get one every year?
Yeah, but you're always kind of. I'm always kind of nervous
we're a little
now.
Nervous. Is it still Steal a Base, Steal a Taco?
Steal a Base, Steal a Taco.
Yeah, I didn't know.
I think they're still doing it. I know they were doing it during the playoffs. Yeah. I'm going to assume they're doing it during the World Series. So all we need is one of you guys to steal a base. But they don't come that easily anymore.
They don't come that easily. But I do think if you're on first base and you have a knack for stealing bases, I think there is like this gentleman agreement that I'm going to try to give everybody a free taco. Right?
Do you think the catcher kind of takes off a little? Doesn't throw it as hard as like, oh, wait, America's counting on it.
The worst is when they steal it and it's defensive indifference.
Yeah. Oh, God. Get rid of that.
Get rid of that. Where they're, defensive indifference. I get the concept of it. But we still want a free taco, America, right, don't we?
I think there's only one time where it could be used, and that's when runners are on first and third. And yes, you're not going to throw to second.
Of course not. You're not going to throw to second, so he gets the base automatically. But it still kind of counts,
it's still
right?
A stolen base.
I know we're playing loose with the term stolen base, and maybe we're not. Like, I could see Taco Bell going, you're not stealing a taco from us, technically, if it's defensive indifference.
Yeah, we don't have that. We don't have, you know, defensive indifference, yeah. Steal a taco.
It's called steal a base, steal a taco, not get a base. We casually give you a free taco at the stand. Still, though, I want a free taco.
I want a free taco.
I want a free taco.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Give it to us.
All right. That is the Buy or Sell World Series edition. This is Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, what is the bet between Houston and Philadelphia? Houston hasn't responded yet?
Houston hasn't responded because Houston is out of the office. But Philadelphia has put forth their tasty cakes.
Oh, those are good.
This is what they said. We are putting forth our tasty cakes, our cheese steaks, soft pretzels, and water ice.
Oh, my God. If you're Houston, win the World Series on that alone.
I know, but what's water ice?
It's like a slushy.
Is it?
Yeah, I think it's like a flavored slushy. I'm not 100% sure.
I just need to know what water ice is. I know the other three are fantastic.
My parents lived not that far from Philadelphia, so maybe I'll have to text them and find out what the water ice is.
I mean,
pretzels are good.
That's a fantastic meal. Think about that. If you start off with a soft pretzel, then you move on to cheesesteaks.
Yeah.
And then tasty cakes after that.
Mm. Real quick, Chris Mooney, who's the head basketball coach at Richmond, he's from Philadelphia, but he was the head coach at Air Force, and we used to do coffee with the coach on my show. I called Tasty Cakes to see if I could get a few cakes to give to him because he's, you know, they sent a box of, huge box of tasty cakes. It was incredible.
Did you bring them all to the coach?
No, of course not.
Of course
not. I gave
him
some to the office, and I kept some in my office. And, yeah, I gave him like five.